Say good morning. Good morning. And greetings in Jesus' name. I was not originally intending to be up here. The schedule, I think, says that it's John's turn, and John and Esther are in Kansas. Maybe a reunion. And so John asked if we could switch, so here I am. Next Sunday was scheduled to be Youth Sunday, and so we decided to switch that to this Sunday. So if you didn't realize that as young people, as youth this morning, be aware this is Youth Sunday and the message is for the young people. Maybe a little bit of an explanation to our visitors, and I want to say welcome to all of you. I recognize faces, and we're glad to have you here. Brent, Marilyn, it's good to have you here. Your name is leaving me. Braden and Hope. It's good to see you here. Sorry. Among others, thank you for being here. So what we have is about every eight weeks or so, we have what we call a Youth Sunday, and the message is geared towards the young people. And that's what will be happening this morning. That doesn't mean that it can't be meaningful to us that are no longer youth. It can be, and I hope it will be this morning. And so, Lord willing, that will be our intentions. To the young people, to the youth this morning, I don't know if you remember what I preached about the last time we had a youth message, or that I preached a youth message. How many remember what it was? How many of the youth remember what it was? Do you remember it all? It's okay. It was all the way back in April. So it's been a while. I preached on three truths that every Christian can live by. And if I remember correctly, I mentioned that there are more truths in Scripture that we can look at and apply to our lives as Christians to live by. And I indicated that I would continue perhaps that thought process or that series in biblical truths that all Christians can live by. And I'd like to do that this morning. So this is part two of that series. So the title of my message is Biblical Truths for Christians to Live By. And I'd just like to say in the beginning here, young people, that lest you get weary and burdened with this Youth Sunday thing, I want to encourage you. This is not intended to get on your case, okay? This is intended to encourage you, to help you develop biblical principles in your life, to help you develop convictions so that you can be the kind of people that you see your mom and dad being, that you see your grandparents being, other older people that you look up to perhaps in the church or as friends, that you can become people of God that can build the church, the kingdom of God, that can work and be pillars, supporters in God's kingdom. That's our vision, our goal. Secondarily to that is the realization that we live in a time that is extremely wicked. Now, we're not the first generation, young people. You're not the first generation that has lived in a very wicked society and very wicked world. History can tell us of some wicked wicked times. And I'm not sure if I'm quite free to give this statement as a blanket statement, but it seems to me, in my mind, that we live in a time, though, where the entire world is living in wickedness. Not just a country or a society like the Roman Empire or the Greek Empire or those kind, but the entire world is swallowed up in wickedness. And your generation is the first generation to completely embrace the wickedness. That sounds like a really strong statement. But as I look back in modern history, especially in modern Western history, I can't find a generation that has so completely embraced evil as good and has so completely said good is evil. If you understand what I'm saying, that's actually scripture. In Isaiah, Isaiah says, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto them." Now, obviously, it was happening back then, but it's difficult for me to comprehend that the entirety of mankind would have been completely engulfed, but maybe it was. It seems so prevalent today. I just read the other day of a Christian medical doctor, and Braden, you'll enjoy this. Maybe you know about this. In a training session, they were told that they may not address patients by their gender, male or female, but that they may only address them by whatever gender the patient wishes. The doctor at some point spoke up and said he can't do that. He's a Christian, and you can't argue the way you were born. He lost his job. That's the world we live in. Young people, that is why we have, or that's another reason why we have Sunday mornings just for you, so that we can help you establish truth in your own heart. And I'm aware of Scripture in John chapter 8, verse 31, and this is Jesus speaking, and this is what I want to leave you, with you in the opening here. This is not part of my message. This is simply an opening to encourage you to grab a hold of the truth, to embrace truth that we talk about, to not reject truth. This is what Jesus said. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So this morning we're going to look at two more truths that I think we together, all Christians, ought to be aware of and embrace and live by. And it's going to be a little bit of a different subject, but it's a truth nevertheless that I think we should talk about. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You know the subject in front of us, and so does the evil one. And I pray for direction, for Your Spirit's presence, for protection from the evil one, for open hearts to receive truth. God, I need Your help. And so would You come now and speak to all of us, myself included, as we talk about the truths in your word this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. I mentioned that I had preached on three truths last time. Does anybody remember what those three truths were? One of them? Sowing and reaping? God is omniscient and omnipresent. Those two together. What was the last one? We will give an account of our lives. One day we will give an account. Today, I would like to preach on two more. And the first truth that I would like to talk about this morning is this. Satan is the ruler of the world that we live in. It's a strange truth to talk about. And I sense perhaps a bit of heaviness in talking about this subject. It's a truth that we realize, and yet it's easy to dismiss because we are so heavily involved in the world that we live in. And young people, this morning, my burden is for you, for all of us, to understand the implications that come from this truth, that are in this truth. The world that you and I live in, I'm talking about the world, society, the jobs, the people we rub shoulders with, everything here is ruled by Satan. Now, there are people that will argue that and say, but God is overall. That is true. God is overall. But we'll look at Scripture that clearly shows that Satan rules in the affairs of men. And that he's the one that causes the wickedness, the evil, the heartache, all of that to happen. He's the one that is responsible for it. So that's the first truth we want to look at. And I don't need to remind you this morning, young people, that as we talk about this, you are very much aware that there are two kingdoms. The one I just got done talking about is the kingdom of Satan, who rules this earth. The other kingdom is ruled by God. Jesus Christ is the king of that other kingdom. There's two kingdoms, and there's a conflict, a continual conflict in the two kingdoms. Sometimes, more times than we care to admit, that conflict is on a personal level, in our own spirits, in our own hearts. Do you understand what I'm saying there? You come into, when you are born again, you come into conflict with the kingdom of Satan. When you become born again, you immediately understand that the things that you have said, I will become, I will do, I will follow Christ, I will be His, that is immediately in conflict with what you used to do. There is immediate conflict. So there is two kingdoms this morning. And I believe all of you, most of you sitting here this morning, understand what I'm saying there. You have experienced that on a personal level. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So what I'd like to do this morning is I would like to, in this first truth, I would like to build a biblical foundation for my argument that Satan is the one that rules this world. And then I would like to answer the question, why is it so important to know this truth? I would like to answer that question. Why is it so important to understand that the world we live in is wicked and is ruled by Satan, who is wicked, who brings in wickedness through a specific way, and we'll get into that later. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. And I know we're jumping into sort of a different, or into a subject here that John is writing about. But there's just a phrase in verse 19 that I want you to highlight or underline. But I'm going to begin in verse 18. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God, sinneth not. Let me just chew on that one for a while. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And chew on that one. How does that work? How does that work in my life? Like I said, there's a lot of things we could talk about in this passage. We're not going to talk about those things, but it does give us food for thought, and it is a subject to discuss or study on. Here's what I want you to look at. Verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world, that last phrase, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. There you have the word true, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So what I want to do is I want to take the foundation for my argument that Satan is the ruler of this world comes from verse 19 where it says, and the whole world is in wickedness. Young people, where does wickedness come from? That's a question you may answer. Where does wickedness come from? Satan. And you're sure about that? You're sure about that? Yeah, that's right. Scripture teaches us that Satan was cast out of heaven because of the sin of pride, whatever, rebellion, all of that. God kicked him out of heaven, and it says, cast him on earth. Revelation talks about that. And he is busy here on earth. In light of the fact that Satan is the originator of evil, and that John, in this passage here, says the entire world lieth. You know what that word lieth means? The picture is this. There's kind of two pictures here. The word lieth simply means it is completely covered up in sin. Completely covered up. And the other meaning, or the other idea, is that it is lying prostrate at the feet of someone. The entire world lays prostrate, knocked out completely by the hypnotic sinfulness and wickedness of its God and its Lord and its ruler, Satan himself. The entire world. And that's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. That's why it's important that we understand this truth, that Satan is the ruler of the world that we live in. Scripture teaches us that Satan is a deceiver and a liar and a destroyer, correct? That's what we're up against. That's what you and I are up against. If we don't embrace this truth, if we don't live by this truth, we will be vulnerable. If you refuse to accept the truth that Satan is the ruler of this world, you and I are very vulnerable to him. And nothing will keep us from falling prostrate, lying at his feet. Nothing. We must embrace this truth. You have to come to the place where you say, look, everything about this out here, everything is ruled by him. He uses specific things and twists good things into bad things for his destructive ways and uses to get you to fall, to get me to fall. It is paramount that we embrace this truth. So how do we deal with this global rule, satanic rule, this global power that influences the entire world? Some scriptures to build a foundation. We have scriptures that talk about this evil age. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, talking about Jesus. Paul is talking about Jesus. He says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. We can take other things out of that passage, but what I want you to understand is that Paul himself says this present evil world. Paul understood. We live in a present evil world, the ruler of which is Satan, who brings about the destruction of the world through his evil ways. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are what? Evil. Because the days are evil. We live in an evil age. The days are evil. And Paul is exhorting us to be aware of that reality. So we have scripture that tells us, and there are other scriptures that I could quote, could bring in here, that talks about the evil age or the world we live in. Now I'd like to look at several scriptures that talk about Satan being the ruler of this world so we get this foundation. Now, my goal here is so that you understand scripture. This is not me saying this. Scripture is the one, is what points out to us that Satan is the ruler of this world, that we live in this world. It's a wicked world that we live in. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says this, but if our gospel be hid, and Paul is talking here, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Did you catch what it says? The God of this world blinds us. And so many times, young people, we take that, this the God of this world, because there are passages that talk about the God of this world being this or this or this or this. What this is specifically talking about is Satan himself. The God of this world has blinded many, many people to the gospel. And if we don't understand that, if we don't embrace the fact that Satan is busy blinding, trying to blind you and me, then we're very vulnerable to his attacks. Every time that I struggle with this, or I do this, or I say I will do this instead of being obedient, Satan is busy in my life towards blinding me. He is the God of this world, and he's busy doing it. He is not a respecter of person. Doesn't matter if you're 80 years old and a Christian and 10 years old and a Christian. He is busy because he is anti-God, anti-truth, and is all about wickedness and disobedience. And all you have to do is look at the world and say, that's right. That's right. John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus says this, now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So we had the God of this world, now we have the prince of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now we have the prince of the power, not only this world, now he's also the prince of the power of the air. I take that to mean a spiritual realm that he is also wreaking havoc in, that he also has some authority and control in. Spiritual realm that you and I, our eyes don't see. Spiritual realm that we can discern to some degree in our spirit, when our spirit is connected with God's spirit and is being motivated by God's spirit, sometimes we connect or we realize that something deeper is going on here than just something on the surface. Sometimes we connect that there is a spiritual wickedness in the air with whoever the people may be that we're with, or there's something going on. Do you understand what I mean? Some of you that are involved in ministry know what that means. But as a general rule, we don't see what's going on in the spirit world around us. I'm not here talking about fearful things. I'm talking about reality. Something we don't have to fear, but it is a reality. Satan also is that. So we have the God of this world, we have the prince of this world, and we have the prince of the power of the air. Young people, that's what we're up against. That's what you are up against. That's what I'm up against. That's what you will continue to be up against as long as you live on this earth. And so it is important that we embrace this truth that Satan is, in fact, the ruler and the prince of this world. And he establishes wickedness in all areas of life. Now I would like to answer the question, why is this so important? You might be saying, Brother Lyle, I get it, but why is this so important? I have three reasons why it's important that we embrace and understand this truth. Number one, the first reason that I want to give to you is this. It helps us live our lives with diligence and careful awareness. Practically thinking, when we are aware of a specific danger, physical danger in our life, and we know we have to navigate through that danger, we are very careful. We're very cautious. We're very intentional about our movements, correct? This is the same thing. When we are aware of the fact that Satan is the ruler of this world and that all of life, all of this that we live in, that we're so used to, is ruled by him, it ought to make us very cautious in the way we live our Christian life. Very intentional. And here's the scripture that I take that from. Ephesians chapter 5 again. Verse 15 again, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Circumspectly, intentional, eyes wide open, spiritual eyes wide open, as we live our life, intentionally understanding that as I rub shoulders, as I, a Christian, move in and live through and among people, we live in it. You cannot live in isolation. We are part of this world and yet not part of this world. There's two kingdoms. The kingdom of Christ lives within you. And when we understand that we rub shoulders this way with an evil world, it ought to cause us to be very aware of the dangers to our spiritual lives. And walk, cause us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Because Jesus has translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Number two reason it is important to believe this truth. It helps us understand what we're up against, and I said that a little bit ago. It helps us understand what we're up against. What do I mean by that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says this, wherein in times past, and this is talking to us, Paul was talking to the Ephesians, but Scripture is for us today, wherein in times past, young people, older people, preachers, myself, wherein in times past ye have walked according to the course of this world, this wickedness, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, that same spirit, the prince of the power of the air, the same spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is how we know what we're up against. Satan utilizes disobedience as the main cargo hauler of his wickedness. Did you catch that? The children of disobedience is how he brings about the wickedness in this world. So what does that look like? The children of disobedience. So that means that any business that has a lot of disobedient men and women working for him is going to be shot through and saturated with wickedness. Any movie producer, any media outlet that has in its employment people who are disobedient to God and His Word will be shot through with wickedness. Their productions will be wicked. Any newspaper, any entertainment that has within its ranks men and women who are disobedient to God and His Word will be shot through with wickedness. That's what we're up against. Bringing it down more personal to the degree that I am disobedient is to the same degree that Satan has a foothold in my life. You see what I'm saying? We live in this world of wickedness. That's what we're up against. It is through disobedience that Satan brings about his wickedness. He loves disobedience. It happened in the garden. Got them to disobey. The same thing today. He works in the children of disobedience. The third thing. When we embrace this truth that Satan is the king and the ruler of this world, it brings understanding and clarity to certain passages in Scripture, such as this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Brings clarity to that, doesn't it? When we understand that, that's why John wrote that. That's why John wrote that. Because he understood that the world is ruled by Satan. And it is wrapped up in the blanket of wickedness. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and Father, and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. When we understand and embrace this truth, young people, then all of a sudden those passages become more clear. And there's little argument. We cannot sit here and argue very well against Scripture. That's why we need to wholly embrace this truth. We need to live by this truth. When you were born again, Jesus says that you were, or Paul says that you were translated from this kingdom of darkness into the light of Jesus' kingdom. And to the degree that you are obedient to the king of that kingdom is the degree to which your light will shine. That's the goal, that we are pockets of light, as it were, to this world. You were birthed into this. It is our responsibility to be light to this wicked world. We can sit here and preach about the wickedness of this world and forget that our job is to be the difference to this wicked world, not to be part of it, to embrace. And these kind of things help us understand why we are embracing, why I don't want to be part of that. I don't want that. I think Collier preached about hell last Sunday. The end of that is destruction. The end of that. We're not only saved from that when we're born again, we're also saved from this world. We read it in our past. We are saved from this present evil world. Unless we decide that that truth is not really valid. And we have one foot here, one foot there, and then we go here, we do this. To the degree that we're obedient to either one of those kingdoms shows where we're at in our spiritual life. I'm going to quickly finish with my last truth, and it hinges on this one, and yet is somewhat separate. I wanted to end with this one because to leave you with this sort of dark truth, I wanted to leave you with a bright truth. There is another truth that you have to live by as Christians, young people. There's another truth. Older people, there's another truth that all of us have to live by, and that is this. We have to live by the reality or the truth that the Holy Spirit is real in our life. That the Holy Spirit is real. Just as real as this evil kingdom, the Holy Spirit is just as real. And He is more powerful than this evil kingdom. However, don't fall for this trick of Satan that says, well, God is, through Jesus Christ, has overthrown this kingdom and there is no more power. I can live. No, that is a trick of Satan. We have to be diligent in allowing the Holy Spirit to be leaders, the leader in our life. We follow Him. We follow what He says as Christians. When we do that, that is an antidote to the wickedness that we live in. But you can't keep the Holy Spirit alive in your life if you don't feed Him and allow Him to be that person that teaches and guides you. How can we know that the Holy Spirit is real? How can you know, young people, that the Holy Spirit is real in your life? John chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. Here's one way that you can know that the Holy Spirit is active in your life. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, it talks about confessing Christ. Are you a confessor of Jesus Christ? If the Holy Spirit, here's the train of thought. By deduction, if the promise that Jesus made says, I will send the Comforter, and He will be your guide to truth, and that guide to truth can do nothing but speak of Me, can confess Me, can speak only of Me, that same Comforter is living in you, shouldn't we be confessing, speaking much of Christ? So one way, perhaps, that we can discern if the Holy Spirit is evident in my life is how much do I speak of my Savior? Not of the Holy Spirit, but of the Savior, of Jesus who died for me. making much of Him? Does your life, my life, reflect much of Jesus Christ? Or does it reflect much of other things? So that's one way. Are you a confessor of Jesus Christ? Do you testify much of Him? Or are there other things that you readily talk about? Another way that we can tell if the Holy Spirit is put in our life is that if He strives within us. What do I mean by that? Young people, when was the last time you were under conviction? Old people, when was the last time you were under conviction? You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit connecting with your conscience, guiding us into truth. Sometimes it's scary. And we can quench the Holy Spirit by not listening to Him. We can make Him go away, and He won't come and talk to us. But one way that you can know that He's real is if He's actively speaking to you in your life. When you sit down and you read God's Word and He is actively speaking to you, your spirit connects with God's Word and you understand what's going on. Sometimes it's not easy to understand. You pray and all of a sudden it's there. That's key. The Holy Spirit is working in your life. When that's not happening, when we're finding that not being a regular thing, then it is fair to say that the Holy Spirit may not be active in your life. That's a scary thing because that means I have quenched the Spirit to the point where He's no longer free to talk, free to say, free to lead me into all truth. When we no longer hear Him, we have quenched Him. But when we hear Him on a regular basis, when we sense Him in during the day, when we sense Him in situations, in hard, difficult situations, when we sense Him, He says He intercedes on our behalf. When we sense that happening, then we know the Holy Spirit is real in our life. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, the ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit for you, for me, is to bring about holiness in our life. That is His ultimate purpose. So as you look back, past 2 years, the past year, the past 5 years, would you say that He has led you into holiness? You know, there's times when I think He has for me, and then there's times I think He hasn't. And it's not His fault. It's not His fault. It's my fault. And so it does require us to take inventory of our life. Have you grown in holiness? If you haven't, it's not the Holy Spirit's fault. He is there. He may just be quiet because we're quenching Him with whatever sin, with whatever preoccupation, with whatever inability or desire that we have to not read His Word, to not be in fellowship with Him. And so there's two truths that we talked about this morning in closing. One is that the world out there is ruled by Satan. We have to understand that. Number two, the second truth is that the Holy Spirit, which lives within us, wants to lead us into truth away from that so that we live holy lives acceptable to God. That's the way I'm summing up the message this morning. Those are two truths you can live by. There is a Holy Spirit, and He is active in your life if you allow Him to be active. Let's bow our heads for prayer.